All right, we're recording.
Yay!
Yay!
All right, welcome back, everybody. Mm-hmm. Last time on Dungeons and Dragons, you all arrived in the city of Hokkaido, in the capital of Mishima. We returned to God Touched Owl and had a 7-day celebration in your honor. There were songs and fights and artificing competitions and various levels of characterness and chicanery. You all received, each of you, a boon from the queen. Taika receiving 5 levels of sharpness and an upgraded ring of identity. Inari receiving a wardrobe +3 that bumps her stats in a way that I maybe did not initially anticipate. Tony receiving two small flying carpets that are linked together like hoverboards.
Davos and Lucas.
And, Shims receiving a doorknob.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
That will allow them to link their little, y'all's little psychic hideout, or not psychic, pocket dimension hideout to another location in the material plane. And so, having received those boons, you all had a chance to party with friends and strangers alike, sharing some time with the Weary Wanderers and the Kestron and the Kestrels. Lost my place. Where was that? People wished you well. Inari blew off Hitoshi for probably the final time. and came across a very tall, near giant of a man with nice 5 o'clock shadow, shaped forearms and piercing green eyes. You guys exchanged a bunch of increasingly revolved gardening puns as you flirted with each other and went off to hook up. He told you he was from the Koromori Canton and invited you to come to his wooded estate with its views of the ocean anytime. Tony was able to dance around the crowd in his flying carpets.
So cool.
Dancing with Sora, the wizard we met at the Pocket Dimension Bar. Taika, having achieved everything that she wanted to achieve in life, let herself be alone in the crowd as she contemplated everything.
You know how it is, right?
Yeah.
Everybody's experienced that.
And Shims just vibed and chilled. Kestron came over and chatted with you a bit, asking why your group, his group had done something to offend your group.
Yeah. Which doesn't feel great. That's kind of a bummer.
We need to be friends.
That actually made me so sad. I was like, this joke has gone too far,
But when he realized that it was like making you uncomfortable, he dropped the matter and invited you out for a drink the next time you guys were in Rakan. So.
I feel like we need to have a rager and invite them over or something.
And so, you all drink the morning away, or drink the evening away, indulged in your vices, and woke up the next morning in your townhouse, eating breakfast, where you told the house staff that you wouldn't be staying the night any further, and so they all bowed farewell and gave you some snacks for the road. When you received a message from Harita, letting you all know that she'd been invited with a +1 to a New Year's Eve masquerade at Yurgo Gustav's house.
Yeah.
And she knows enough to know that there's stuff that you want to do at his house, but doesn't know enough to know what that is to achieve plausible deniability.
She did want plausible deniability, didn't she? I forgot about that. Funny.
And so, as you left the palace grounds, heading to the Daigaku, the university district, to look at your pocket dimension and think about some decorations, you were immediately diverted by a small kid who'd been paid to deliver a message to you all, a letter from a mysterious figure named the Bass, who invited you to the Sapphire Spear with an opportunity that she assumed you'd be interested in. You all grew very paranoid. You burnt the letter. Taika, invisibly tailed the kid to his house, realized that the kid was who he said he was, and you left an impressive amount of money for him and his sick mother.
I assume they'll also share it with their community, too. That's why I left so much. I guess I didn't do an insight.
You all went to the Sapphire Spear to meet this mysterious letter writer. You were able to catch a glimpse of what she looked like through the kid's memory, through Inari's Detect Thoughts spell, Inari made an illusory version of her so that Tony could copy her appearance. And Tony with what was actually, I admit, was a smart plan of, like, disguising himself as the woman and walking into the hotel just to see, like, what the vibe was from the staff and stuff like that. It would have been smart, except the person was already there waiting for you all.
Yeah.
And immediately clocked Tony.
I mean, why wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Tony looked like them.
It's too bad Tony hadn't thought faster and could have said, "Oh, my sister."
That's pretty great.
So you all started to freak out. Tony's like, told you all to get there. The stranger Bass introduced herself to Nari and Chims as they walked in. Your reputation's preceding you. She was intrigued how Tony knew what she looked like before you'd met her, and asked Nari if she probed the boy's mind.
Sorry.
When Taika arrived after a few minutes, immediately asking if this person was Archmage Secuntus, Galcia Boros, but the person assured you that she wasn't and gave you her bond. She wouldn't hurt you if you all followed her into a place more private. So you went deeper into the tavern to a private room with some food set up. She told you all that it was warded to prevent eavesdropping, magical or otherwise. And she revealed herself as not just a regular person, but as an Archangel of Solari, and introduced herself as Bassandriel. Taika, using her abilities as both a blood hunter and as a person who sized up threats for a living, recognized that this person was perhaps the most powerful person that Taika had ever laid eyes on personally. A person just radiating strength and charisma and power. And so after she kind of flexed and let her true self be revealed, like, much like, Gandalf did when he convinced Bilbo that he wasn't there to rob him, or, you know, Galadriel did when she was tested by the ring, she just sort of tucked the wings back, relaxed, and, like, diminished her appearance, and talked with y'all, letting you know that she had heard that y'all had encountered some fiends. And wanted to know what that was about. But before she got there, Taika told her about the Book of Flavi that you all had found in the temple, and that Archmage Secuntus was in that temple and was consorting with fiends. And so the Archangel agreed to destroy the temple and send some seraphim to investigate the Archmage. And cautioned you all to destroy anything that you find that's touched by either Flavi or some other entity known as Zelion. She told you that you heard you all had stumbled upon a conspiracy of devils, and you all cautiously decided not to spill the beans right away, and instead wanting to ask more questions. asking her why she wanted to know. She wanted to know if you all were in league with them. You all said you weren't. Taika asked if she intended to destroy them, and she told you about a ceasefire that the Celestials and the Fiends had signed after a war several years back, where they agreed not to harm each other for a period of 6.5 years. 6 years, 6 months, and 6 days, to be precise. But she realized now that it may have indeed been a ruse. And she told you that she knew there were fiends in Rakkad and missing artificers, and now there are not. That you all were involved in it somehow. You all psychically discussed it, unable to come to a consensus on whether or not to spill things to her. You all asked her what the ask is here, and she let you know that she wanted to know what they're up to. So Taika asked if she wanted to destroy all fiends. And Bassandriel said that fiends are beings of, created by dark gods that delight in suffering, and so they should not suffer to be, be suffered to live. You all asked her if she was going to sabotage the devils, and she told you that she was unsure what they were doing, so she couldn't answer that question, and wanted to know why you were so reticent to tell her what was going on. You psychically discussed them more. You thought a bit more about, like, the old planar structure, and that planes could be built to be hospitable to fiends or celestials, and building a new plane could give one side a huge advantage over the other. And Inari asked Bassandriel if what sort of risks to humanity she would accept it meant wiping out all devils, and Missandriel told you that there'd be no acceptable mortal casualties, and that she wouldn't enact a plan that would eradicate all fiends if it meant mortal casualties. So, but seeing your reticence, and the DM really having to poop, she said she'd give you more time to think about your involvement.
It's hilarious.
And gave you, just told you that she would meet you back at the same spot the next day at noon. And if you didn't show up, that would be the end of it. So.
And so I had to walk away here really quickly. Sorry. So did she tell us why she wanted to know, or did she deflect? Or she just give a
she
generic...
told me she wanted to know what they were up to. She doesn't know.
Yeah. Okay.
She didn't deflect. She just.
Okay.
She told you that she knew that. You know, there are fiends in her cabinets and missing artificers, and now there are not. And so, and she knows that you all were involved in it somehow.
Yeah. Sorry. It just, the information I was most interested in, I literally had to walk away as soon as it was happening.
And so, she hopes that she can prove that you all can trust her, but she left you with the food and drink and the spears. And so, that is where we're at. It's a little bit after noon, the 22nd of Lean, Noon's Day. In Hokkaido, you all are in this back room of the Sapphire Sphere. You've got this magically warded room to yourself, a delicious meal spread out in front of you. You were, before this, en route to the University District to get decorations for your hidey hole. But what do you all do now?
Excuse me?
Family meeting?
Yeah, right.
Before we started to talk about this in our psychic whispers, we made sure that she can't hear us, right?
You never got the impression... You never got the impression that she could hear you.
And we got that impression in the past from the devils, or for the fiends, right? They could tell that we were...
Tybalt could hear your psychic communications, but you realized that he had a ring that let him overhear...
Oh, we have that ring,
right? You have
right?
that ring, yeah.
Do you have that ring?
I think so. You think maybe Shins has it.
It's not me.
Do I have it?
It's like a mind reading ring of mind or something.
Yeah.
I have things. I have things.
But we can just sit here and talk with psychic whispers and we'll probably be fine.
Yeah, they got a mule in front of you.
Yeah.
Ring, it's not ring of protection. Brooch of shielding. Doesn't look like I have it.
One of you has it.
Or if I do, it's not in my notes.
Yeah. One of you pulls it out of a bag and says, who's going to take it?
Right?
It required attunement, which is why I just sort of got it.
Oh, yeah, nobody wants to give up their attunement slot. That's fair. I bet Shems has it then, because you're the one who's going to come up with extra attunement slots.
You're also the one that's, like, emotionally attached to Tybalt next to the ring.
Yeah, it must be in here. Maybe I forgot to write it down. Things of flying.
So, I don't know, it's weird to be caught in the middle of this shit, if you ask me.
Yeah. I think...
We're just trying to help people out, man.
I think it's better to bring the Celestials into the group than try to keep them out. It's going to be a lot easier to just bring them in. Because they think that they're going to bring a level of knowledge and understanding that we don't have. And we have their assurance that they're not going to make any decisions that would wipe out humanity versus the devils. We wouldn't have that same assuredness.
Yeah.
Like, if we're going to be in league with one side or the other, this would be the side to be, but I don't know that by sharing information with them that we're taking a side, but by not sharing information with them, we are.
Yeah.
My experience with people who think they're right and who think that they're good has always been very negative. So my instinctual response to these two camps is to cautiously support the fiends. I think they're bad, and I think we need to be ready to kill them. But that's more honest, in my opinion, than people who are good. So, that's heavily influenced by my upbringing, so I will say that much. And I mean, we really don't know anything about this pantheon. Like, this is a pantheon well before anything that we know of. So maybe they are just good and that's it. Seems weird, but maybe...
Well, I mean, if we're going off of what we know from both sides, at least the Celestials don't want to hurt humanity.
And the Devils and the have no...
don't care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have no compunction doing so.
Yeah.
Some of them might even get off on it. Yeah.
So from that sense, that's why I'm thinking more.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, we don't have to pick a side. Like, if we tell the Celestials and we come from a place of we just want... This is going to happen one way or another, and we want it to happen safely.
Yeah. And I mean, really, what our end goal has to be is humanity,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, either of these factions can go get fucked if
mm-hmm.
it's not for humanity. The original reason we got into this shit was because of the Artificers.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
So...
It doesn't feel great, though. It doesn't feel super great.
I'm wondering if there's, like, some way we can, since our goal right now is to, like, work with the Artificers, right? If there's some way we can work with them to alter what's going to happen, like, I don't know, choosing a side, or maybe having the plane be a neutral plane. They'd still have to fight, but...
They'd be out of our way.
And nothing else could be done, right? Like, there's not another thing, and it would be, like, a more fair...
We should ask the think tank if the power provided by Shatter Rock Island is enough to create two planes.
I think we learned it's just one.
Yeah, I think it is two, but it's the think tank. They're the eggheads. They're there to do the thinking for us, because I certainly don't have any expertise in this shit.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that Chris. Might...
Think tank, sir. Get ready. Yeah. Shems, do you have any thoughts?
My thoughts are, like... I don't know if I want us to think of it as which side are we picking, and more so as how do we... ensure, like, a lasting peace, because there already was a ceasefire, and if we can figure out a way to get everyone on board...
Aren't they literally diametrically incapable of working together?
Like, yes,
are they?
This isn't humanity.
It's not a matter of, like...
These are people from an older time.
They literally can... They are literally opposites. This is not a human conundrum. These are different beings than any human-like race at all, or species.
I mean, that said, they did sign a ceasefire in the first place a year and a half ago, but it does...
Yeah, like, that's my thought process.
But it does sound like that ceasefire was signed as part of...
What would it take to extend that until being, like...
But you guys did suss out that
they'll do this.
Yeah, it is what it's what
with each other.
You guys did suss out. It's a doubt. You think the ceasefire is actually a devilish plot to prevent them from interfering with this plan of the devils?
Yeah,
so
like
it's
the
not
devils,
an actual ceasefire. It's...
The devils gave in so they could get what they wanted.
Yeah, it was a trick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it wasn't genuine in any way.
Yeah. Like, I would love to have them be besties. Or at least not trying to war forever. But I feel like that might be...
But that might be a question for the think tank as well. Is like, for the ceasefire, is there any way that we could extend it indefinitely?
Put them in their own planes and seal them off forever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or, I mean, if they are held to those agreements, just have the agreement last for way longer than we think humanity will exist.
I mean, worth asking not only that, but is it possible for a ceasefire? I bet I know what the answer is. I bet the answer is we the angels would hold to whatever, but the devils and fiends would not. And I think that literally fiends
can't. Isn't
there a
whole thing is that they will abide by any contract? Like, if it's in stone,
no,
they might have nefarious purpose.
It's not.
But they're not going to, like, break
not.
It.
No, it's definitely not. Only devils.
Right, there's demons and then there's devils.
Okay.
Demons
are just fucking chaos.
Devils are bound by law, demons are not.
So there's a faction here in the fiends that will expressly, under no circumstances, follow laws. I bet you anything, getting the ceasefire was a wild pull of control for the devils. Because the demons are just chaos all the time.
And you do know that the demons are bound by the contract as well, so they won't.
That's what I was thinking. If the demons are also bound by the contract, then that means that we could theoretically, maybe, extend it.
If the demons would agree to it.
Yeah. So they agreed to it because it was a play.
But none of this is solving the problem. It's just pushing it off.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think... I mean,
also, it may not be Yol's place to solve, like, the concept of
that's
angels.
That's what I'm saying, right? Like,
yeah.
It would be great if we could, but I think there's either we figure out how to not kill humanity, or we try to help them not kill each other for 100 years.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm not a glass half full person, but I don't think that's going to be something.
Maybe it's
just
simpler than that. Like, everything but the last step. Don't kill humanity, save the artificers.
Yeah.
And they can do what they want as long as humanity's not involved.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because if it hadn't been for the ceasefire, would the fiends have even been here in the first place to start grabbing these artificers?
Good question.
Yeah. I mean, maybe we just... Our job is to figure out a way to extract humanity from this fucking equation.
From the situation,
yeah. Because, obviously, these are beings with so much more power than we can even conceptualize.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know if you guys felt it, but that person, this Bass person, was honestly strong enough to wipe the floor with cities. And definitely, you told me that they were stronger, could definitely beat His Eminence, right?
Based on your assessment, yeah.
Yeah, so strong enough to take out the devil leader.
Mm.
Like, fully and probably breaking a sweat, but not much of one.
Mm.
So, I don't know, putting ourselves in that equation seems foolish. As much as I want to solve all the problems.
So you would also gather that His Eminence is probably not the top of the devil org chart. And this person you met is, at least not for all Celestials, but for, you know, this particular lawful good sect of them,
uh-huh,
is the top of the org.
Wow. Guys, I think we should be maybe a little flattered that she came to talk to us personally. Because that's intense. Uh-oh. What did I do? Oh. I didn't realize my pen unscrewed in that place. Okay, so ask the think tank if two planes could be created. I wrote down ask Bass if they'll work with the think tank to resolve. Like, maybe she can give them some ideas.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, I guess we kind of have to see what happens when we talk to her, because my immediate thought, which, you know, is that they're going to want their own plane.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to want it to be them and not the devils. And so that's going to be the new conflict.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I don't know, like, is she going to have ideas for the think tank, or is she going to be like, this is how we get the Celestials a plane? You know,
mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah.
My favorite plan that I've heard so far is creating a neutral plane, mm-hmm. and yeah. then it kind of removes us out of the situation mm-hmm. that yeah. there is now a plane where theoretically they could share. They won't, but that's not anything that we can do anything about. We've done what we could do.
So that leads me to the question is it possible for either of those groups, like even in like intrinsically, is it possible for either of them to be involved and make a neutral plane? Or is it both y'all get the fuck out, we're gonna do it and you can fight over it? Because who is more neutral than humanity, you know?
And I don't know, I'm hesitant to say anything to the demon devils mm-hmm. because they can just kill all the artificers and do it on their own.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think they're going to take any sort of less than...
You know, it's funny, though. Why did they involve the artificers in the first place? I think they can't do it without humanity.
Yeah.
I think they... If they could have done it without us, they would have done it.
Wasn't there... Didn't we talk to them about something about how, like, if they interfered, they would do something? Like, what... I can't remember what they said, because I think you're right, but I think there was a piece of it where they were like, there was something where like, but they would try to do it anyway, and probably kill the world.
Yeah, I remember, I know exactly,
I just don't remember the...
Yeah, they would have done it on their own, but this, using the artificers was a safer route, was a way to ensure success, whereas doing it on their own was way more of a roll of the dice.
Yeah.
Right?
Sounds vaguely right.
I got a good memory. I'm very sure that's... Yeah.
Or I think they may have threatened to kill the artificers if you came and just find new ones or something.
No, definitely that was part of it, too. But I feel like we got, like
you
said... There
was something about...
Yeah.
And if I said that the fiends could do it on their own, they shouldn't have. They can't.
That's good to know. To my memory, it wasn't that they couldn't do it, or that they could do it on their own. It was like... They're at a point where it might be, like, finish line for them to do. Uh-huh. But I might be misremembering.
Yeah, I think there was something to that effect of, you know, if they get to a point where they're close enough and you guys start interfering, they might just try to go with it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Which is what I'm worried about.
Yeah. No, I.
Because if they're like, oh, they're planning against us, we just need to do it now.
And then they destroy everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So I don't know.
So that is a risk. That's a huge risk, yeah.
Yeah.
If we start talking. We're all talking in our minds right now.
Yep, in the secure, magically secure room.
The room is magically secure. Okay. We also need to keep in mind that I have a sending stone from the devils.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So I don't know if that would have had any impact on our last conversation, but we need to make sure... We need to go back to being careful what we say. Because if they get a whiff of Celestials being involved with us, we might be in a lot more danger.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's something to keep in mind.
Okay.
Okay, so what are our list of questions?
Can Shatterrock create two planes?
Yep.
Is that for her or for the think tank,
though? I think that's for both.
That's for the think tank, I thought. But I guess, yeah, we could ask it to
ask
both.
Ask her too, yeah.
Tell her the plan and then ask the question or tell her the situation. You know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. What else you got?
Well, I had written, can we extend the ceasefire indefinitely? Mm-hmm. But I don't think that's a question for her. Mm-hmm. But maybe a question for the think tank. Not that that's anything we want to or need to do, but I'm just curious.
It doesn't hurt to ask.
Well, I think we could definitely ask her that.
Or...
She's one of the ones involved.
If we can't extend the ceasefire indefinitely... Can we create some sort of an agreement that has no expiration or has a very long expiration that promises that humanity will be spared from anything that they do and that the artificers will be kept safe no matter what they decide to do?
We might want to work on the thought and the wording on that as some, if we were to gain some sort of leverage over the demons and devils. Because I genuinely don't think that this archangel side of things is actually going to be a problem for humanity. I think the demons and devils will slaughter everyone with no compunction whatsoever. And so if we can get them over a barrel in some way and make an agreement, that would be a very important thing.
So I think one of the questions
to pin them
for
down.
The for Bass, right,
mm-hmm.
is what is something that you can't do right now because of the existing agreement that we could potentially enact as leverage against the demons and devils? Because obviously there's something that the Celestials know that would inhibit what they're doing currently that benefits them.
What do you mean?
Like, there's something that the Celestials do to attack them. And if that's something that we could wield.
Oh, I thought it was just sword stuff, but...
I mean, maybe, but, like, what kind of sword? What kind of damage?
More risky. Okay.
Yeah. Or, you know, just any kind of leverage, like, there's a special stone in this special area, and it gives them all... It's like a Horcrux or something. Like, I don't know. There's so many things we don't know what we don't know.
Yeah. For me, Caitlin, it's very interesting that they're still alive even though their gods are dead. That's very interesting to me.
Mm.
Like, you would think that they would have went with the gods, but they didn't.
Mm. So. Well, many of them did.
Yeah. Fighting, yeah.
No, just the planes they were on when they were
destroyed. Oh, these are the ones that were off the planes. Mm-hmm. That's what it is.
No.
Interesting. Anything else?
I can't think of anything, but my brain's tired.
Leverage. Can we use against... to keep them from fucking us over.
Mm-hmm.
First, I thought you were just going to say to keep them from fucking. I'm like, well...
That's rude.
That's rude.
Oh, dear.
Oh, man. This is a pickle. That is for sure.
Well, I think it's one of those situations where once you make the decision, you just have to kind of go with it.
Yeah.
And there isn't a lot of...
And I mean, our call from the very beginning has been... tentative help, but have war ready. Have their deaths ready, because, like, if they go after the artificers, that's that. That's them moving against us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not okay. Not acceptable.
What if we got all the artificers into our pocket dimension and then blew up Shatter Rock Island?
But the problem with Shatter Rock Island is if it blows up, that's what could trigger... destroying our plane, right?
Even
like, there's
if,
enough power there.
What if we...
Even if it's not magical explosion?
I think it's incapable of being anything but that.
Can you...
It's such chaotic magic.
Can you displace a whole island into a different plane?
It's definitely happened before, but not by anyone here.
Like into the astral sea.
You have to go to Spazia, see if they managed to figure that mystery from their past out. They have a whole... Planar Institute dedicated to trying to figure out how that happened to them.
Yeah. Wasn't that Valthrune?
It was Valthrune.
Oh,
Valthrune.
Valthrune the smelly.
You are so smelly.
Stinky.
And stinky.
Okay. Well, let's message, while we're in this protected room, let's message the think tank.
Can we?
Can we send sending stones?
You try to contact one of the members of the think tank and nothing happens.
Oh, well, all right. So we've got to leave this area.
Yeah. Before we do, what are we doing today? Are we still going to go to the, whatchamacallit?
Oh, shit. We had so many fucking plans. We were ready to leave town.
We need to figure out where we're going to stay tonight.
We can stay in our hole.
We can stay in our pocket dimension.
Oh, yeah, that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, we have a home here,
our clubhouse.
Wait,
yeah.
Can I not open the hole in the pocket dimension?
You shouldn't. You should.
Okay. Oh, God. Okay. What happens? We can take our bags of holding.
It's fine.
Just can't open them?
Just don't open them.
Jesus!
So if we need any equipment,
maybe it'll be fine. You don't know.
Yeah!
Should we put some sort of a safety lock on our stuff just so we don't forget?
Kind of. So it's a bad deal.
Like by the door, there's a little,
so,
like,
list of
there's
things.
There's a check-in bag. There's a stuff she didn't warn us about that.
Roll an arcana check.
Oh, shit.
So we need locks for...
Oh, that wasn't the best roll, but I have good modifiers.
Hell yes.
Was my, I think it... didn't my arcana go up when we leveled?
I think so. Didn't it?
Yeah.
Should've. Yes. So it is. I rolled a 10 and I got a 25.
Fuck yes.
This is ridiculous.
You actually think it'd be okay to open either in there.
Really?
Yes, it's a different mechanic than the what creates portal holes and...
Oh, okay, good.
Terrifying.
But I mean, don't we want to be 100% sure before...
You can ask Miko. She would know for sure.
No.
Okay.
Did we get her sending stone?
That's a good question. I think Shams maybe did.
That makes sense.
That would make sense, yeah.
It would be insane if I didn't grab her sending stone. Shams is like...
Oh, Anari got it.
By this woman.
Nice.
Page 150.
Ooh, we even got pages. Damn, woman.
Shams did also say that you have it as well.
That makes sense.
So Ginky only sense, yeah. All right, well, let's go to our hidey hole.
Right. So you guys leave this warded room. You step out. All of your sending stones crackle to life. On yours is Evelyn being like, "Taika, come in." Inari, you hear your brother being like, "Inari, to stop fucking around." Tony, yours, you hear Cloudfang being like, "Boy, are you guys okay? Where the fuck are you?" And Chim's ears has Weary on it, just being like, "They're worrying too much, I think, but." Are you there?
What?
Oh, Evelyn says, good. We were getting ready to leave, and sending messaged you that we were going to leave and to say goodbye. And we didn't get an answer. It's been like 35 minutes.
Okay. We'll go meet up with them.
All right. So
brother, get up off my dick.
Can I say before we like completely left... You said that the Archangel Lady warded the room with a bunch of things, so it's like the most insane magical wards. We are completely, no one's reaching us here, right?
Yeah.
Can Shems just sort of like observe whatever magical wards she put on there just to know how little she understands of this type of magic?
Rolling Arcana check, yeah.
Love it.
And cast that detect magic.
I'm like, you said...
Rolling at 20 so you can understand it. That's what you want.
This.
Because that's what,
it.
A 35
a
unmodified?
This, jumps.
We'll just see what the dice say. Jumps
unlocks a new field of magical study for
I ain't making no promises.
35 unmodified.
Oh god, I rolled ass. That's fine. That's a 9.
What?
Plus 15.
Oh, I was like, what? How?
No, I rolled a 9. Plus 15 would be 24. And fuck it. Why not use Flesh of Genius on this? I got 5 uses of that.
What's your flash now? Did it go up?
No,
it's 5.
But if you rolled a nat 20 and flashed yourself, you'd be at a 40.
Which is absolutely wild.
Absolutely wild.
Love it.
If you throw a guidance and a bardic on there, your maximum could, in theory, be 52.
Yeah, that's amazing.
That is messed up.
The game's not even built for that. Like,
you just know everything.
You're a god now.
You look
even
at
gods don't have those kind of stats.
You look at it, and it's really fascinating. It is just this, like, really archaic looking. Like divine magic that has been weaved in a way that, like, you don't think you'd be able to recreate it, but like you can see like how like modern magic might have evolved from this.
Oh, that is so cool. Mm. That is awesome.
That's cool. Modern magic evolved. From a campaign that I played less than 10 years ago. Although not for very long, huh?
You guys played for... You were in that campaign for about 3 years?
We started in 2015, though. Next year will be 10 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
wild. Anyway.
Oh, God. 2015 is 10 years ago?
Yeah, bitch.
Yeah.
Almost. That
Welcome
is
to aging.
Up.
Yeah.
That is fucked
it's,
up.
It is fucked
it's
up.
It's fucked
right.
up.
You're
it
telling
is
us.
Fucked up.
2008 was just a couple of years ago, right?
No. Yeah. This year's my 20 years high school reunion. Fuck those guys.
Next year is my 20-year college reunion. Mm. Or if we have one.
Mm-hmm. So, you old folks.
Anyway.
You meet up with... Worry Wanderers are actually not too far from here. They are in another hotel in this area, so they meet up with you, give you some hugs.
I'll try to sneak up on Elgolin.
Let me spell check. With advantage.
Wait, can I cast invisibility on you?
Nope. I mean that 9 turns into a 15.
Did you want to have a bardic turn?
Oh, sure.
Can I flash you?
Look at my tits.
I want you to get your revenge.
So, what did I say?
We're probably not getting up to
it was
too
a 15,
today.
Right? So,
I can be liberal.
20.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Did you flash of genius me?
Yeah.
25.
Yeah.
With the help of my friends, I can fuck
I'll
over my pseudo sister.
Silvery barbs ready.
We're
no, wait,
just
no,
as
so this was the die that you gave me today,
mm-hmm.
and I just rolled it.
Oh, no.
I rolled a natural 1.
Yay!
So yeah, Evelyn's completely unaware as you.
100%. I sneak up. I think technically she's probably a little taller than I am, but
yeah.
I'm probably stronger than her, right?
Yeah.
I 100% go up behind her and duck up under her legs and make her head hit the ceiling.
I thought you were going to jump on top of her, and I was like, please remember, you're wearing metal armor.
You're four times.
Like,
Yeah, my first instinct was to jump on top of her, but I've done that a couple times now, so it's got to be losing its novelty.
She screams and...
I'm incapacitated with laughter!
And cast a ray of frost on you.
What does my brother do? Does he react at all?
That's a good question. The gray frost hits.
Yeah, fine. I say, she should roll with advantage. I'm incapacitated with laughter.
We're not going to worry about the damage.
I literally can't stop laughing because I'm imagining doing it to my real sister.
you see that happen. You see her duck up, pull up Evelyn. Evelyn like she starts laughing. Evelyn shoots her with a spray of frost. Like now Tyga's all frosty, and now they're like rolling around on the ground and wrestling.
I'm gonna walk up to my brother, like, he can see me, and just be like, they have a much different relationship than we do.
Thank God.
Seriously.
I'm gonna walk up to my brother and be like, hey.
What's up?
How's it going with,
He just leans in and whispers, he's like, actually, it's a lot like that, but more naked.
Tyga doesn't know it, but she's very happy to not be part of that conversation.
No, not my cup of tea, but go for it.
He says, who was that giant you were talking to last night?
There's somebody.
He looked rich.
I have high standards.
He says, and hardy. And he says, well, hey, don't forget to call mom.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I'm the one who needs reminding of that. Thank you.
He says, oh, where's the lock?
Oh, I laughed so hard I got hot.
And then I got hot.
Hot Toshi? Hot Toshi?
Yeah, I'm really sad I didn't put Layla in this group, but would have just really been a symmetry.
I know, that's actually, I didn't get a chance to say it, but that was a thought I had, that when Shems is, like, watching all of you guys interacting with your siblings like this, I think she gets a little bit sad.
Layla would hate it, though, right? Like, she's not about being out in wild. She's an academic, right?
Layla is on a journey of self-discovery right now.
No,
she could go either way.
I don't even know where Layla is.
Maybe.
Well, while they're all sibling out, Wary and Corvin go up to you, Shims. Wary's actually, for a barbarian, has a pretty high insight and, like, decent charisma. And so she's just, like, distracting you and chatting with you and seeing, like, what your future, like, what you guys are going to be up to soon and stuff like that. Small talk in it.
Mm-hmm. That's really sweet. Yeah.
And Corvin's like,
can I ask Wary, has it, like, babysitting these people?
She says a lot less like babysitting than it was a couple months ago.
She's gonna say
leveled up. She's like, their skills have actually grown pretty quickly. She says, but I think it, I don't know about you, but I mean, when I first started adventuring it, I could feel myself getting better. You know, you being life and death situations that frequently, it forces you to get better or die, so. And they've been doing a good job of getting better, so.
And it's a good thing they didn't die.
And Corbin's like, he's putting all my healing talents to use, but we're getting there. he says, it's a shame that Evelyn didn't want to become a cleric. I would have really taken a lot of the burden off of me.
Much too violent for that.
Mm-hmm. So, you all say goodbye to your sibling party.
Hugs all around.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody hugs each other. It's like an end of an episode of Golden Girls. There's cheesecake.
Ooh. Less cheesecake?
No, there's more. There's cheesecake to be had. They say goodbye and head towards the palace to get teleported back to where they were.
Thanks.
Nice. All right, so you all are just kind of in the center of town. What would you like to do?
I mean, it's like early afternoon, right?
Yeah.
Go to our pocket dimension?
Yeah.
Weren't we doing something, though? Weren't we?
Well, what time is it?
It's like 2 in the afternoon.
Okay, and so we're going to meet the celestial person tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yeah.
Okay. Let's go shopping. Like, we might as well, if we're going to have some intense conversations, at least have it in a well-decorated space.
Yeah, I love it. That's a really great idea. That was kind of in the back of my mind, but I didn't want to be the first one to, like, float that idea.
Let's go shopping.
I also probably need some different pillows. I didn't like the looks of those pillows in there.
Mm, okay.
Yeah. Oh. Maybe a nice bedspread.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, ooh, some, like, dangly things that I can swat at, like, while I'm getting ready for bed, just to kind of, like, calm down.
you want, what is it with
like
babies?
Like a mobile?
A mobile for babies. Does the patio have a fire pit?
Yeah.
Oh, dang. Okay. I was gonna buy a fire pit, but we already got one. That's great.
But we can bring wood, we can...
Mm-hmm.
There's a forge and a little fire pit next to it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Someone needs to provide wood.
it got, like, general food supplies, though?
It does.
And those are, like, unperishable.
They're magically generated.
Okay.
That's
cool. Okay.
Yeah, so just kind of, like, shit we don't need, but stuff we want.
Yeah.
Okay, so you all head to some markets.
Mm-hmm.
Get a lot of fabrics and pillows and things like that. They have a lot of silk around here, so a lot of silken things would be very nice. So everybody, let's call it 5 gold pieces apiece.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Unless there's something really crazy you want to get.
No, that's pretty good to me.
So nice luxury.
I think Shems would want to get a dress form for when she makes dresses for Inari.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'd say that could be part of your 5 gold.
Should we get Shems like a display case or like a something for all the shit you make?
It would be nice to have a like a little storage place for all of the shit that I'm just carrying.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yes. I still remember when I went through customs. They were like, what
if we get a bunch of stuff to just like build some shelves and stuff in there?
Yeah, you could definitely do that. Like, and there's like little storage cubbies like outside by the forge that you could use and stuff like that. So,
Love it. A decorative
awesome.
Thing for you to rest your staff when we're spending time there.
Ooh, yeah.
So, yeah, you guys spend a few hours going to these markets. You enter your portable realm. I'll also say just that, yeah, you get confirmation from Kimiko that you can, in fact, open your portable hole and your bags of holding in there.
What are we calling our...
I was going to say, what are we...
Hideout? What's it? What did we have...
We just kept saying... We keep saying versions of Heidi Hole.
Heidi Hole.
And okay. Snickering.
Home base, your headquarters, your...
I think we should come up with a word for it. Can you teleport into it?
Yeah, it has a teleportation circle in it.
That's ooh, the... we definitely need to think a name of it.
We will. We should let's think not force that. Anything.
Yeah,
but...
yeah, yeah. We should think of a name for it.
Yeah.
Okay. Let it come to us.
I'm just remembering the chilling out. That's what happens when we come up with names naturally. They don't end up cool.
I feel like we've come up with some cool. good names.
I don't know. I feel like the chilling out's a pretty great name.
Yeah, I like that name.
That's funny.
So, yeah, you pick up all your supplies, you head into your little hideout, your little home base, and start decorating, exploring the little nooks and crannies of it.
This is where I'll put this, and this is where I'll put this.
Checking out the bathroom with its flushable toilet and its three shelves.
Mm-hmm. Everybody christen the bathroom.
As you finish using the restroom, like you were very surprised to find it has a bidet and a little magical dryer.
Ooh, I'm gonna use this a lot.
And just a little poof of baby powder.
Oh god!
My butt fur is so clean. No dangleberries.
Has like a little trimmer to get.
Look, everybody!
Oh no!
I show them my hairy butt and how clean
absolutely
it is.
Absolutely not.
Wow, nice job.
How very cat-like of Toby. Uh-huh.
Look everybody!
Look at my butthole.
Cat tendencies right now.
Yeah, so you get settled in, and after a few hours, like, this sort of generic space suddenly feels a lot more personalized and homey than it had before.
Is it stocked with, like, I know that there's food, but is there, like, alcohol, or is that no?
Yeah, it has, like, a you open a cabinet and you see, like, a mug of beer in there, and you take it and you open it again, and there's a mug of beer in there.
Nice. Okay, cool.
Nice.
And you realize that, like, you're like, well, all these mugs, what are we going to do with all these mugs? And then as you put the stuff in the sink, it just disappears.
We're so fancy.
So you don't even have to do the dishes.
Amazing.
Because truly, look, this is a fantasy world. Mm-hmm. It's Why full not? Of wish fulfillment, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Is one of the mugs or cups in the kitchen a pineapple?
Oh my gosh. And a butt.
Yes.
Yes.
And a butt mug.
and a butt mug, yes.
With a straw betwixt the cheeks.
Betwixt. You can also bring in your own stuff. Yeah. All right, so.
Taika sees that and just slides it away.
Puts it
in
the
sink.
All right, so. Y'all get settled in. Is there anything else you want to do this day, or are you going to just sort of relax in your little...
I think probably just relax, and then we can talk some more about what tomorrow's going to look like. What are the questions? What are we looking for?
Should we go ahead and get a hold of the think tank tonight?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'll message Hannah.
You realize that you have to
can
step outside.
Can we
out,
use our sending stone?
You have to step outside of this, because it is technically not the same dimension.
Oh, interesting. So we can't be contacted in here. Cool. Good to know.
That is...
But we're just one doorway away.
That's true.
What if we open the door?
Huh. And the door stays open?
Let me think about this for a second.
What if we put a brick in the door so it's just open?
And then some rando walks into our...
I never see this.
Hey, get out of here! Get out of here! I don't know why that's so funny to me. Just what? Somebody walking in, and us just being like, get out!
Well, because it happened to you recently.
Oh, yeah, oh that's right.
That's a recent recent experience you've had.
Oh, those Airbnbers.
Yeah.
Fuckers.
Oh my god, I forgot about that story. Right.
Except they didn't scream get out, I don't think. I was just like,
what are you doing here?
This isn't an Airbnb.
I would know.
You know what, I'll say you look up and there's just a little magical googa up there.
And I was going to ask and if you're sending a little magical googa.
They like, oh, enable googa.
It's for as much my convenience as it is for yours.
Fair enough.
Magic.
Yeah, magic.
Man, she even installed a googa. She really thought of everything.
It's a stone that is magically, like, entangled, so it's in both planes at once.
It's our headquarters landline.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Yeah. Like, if you can't reach our mobile phone, try the landline.
And it has a lot. You take it off the wall, and it has a connection that goes...
Exactly.
Come through.
Kids these days will never understand, like, the absolute terror of having to talk to your friends on a phone that is, like, tethered to the wall within hearing distance of your parents.
Have you seen that TikTok of a young person, like, crying about the fact that they don't have a landline, but they have no idea what they're crying about? It's pretty fucking funny.
Oh, man.
She's like, there should just be one phone for the house. Yeah, it's called a landline. You're so far removed.
Turns out it sucked, actually.
Yeah.
All right, so.
Anyway, I'll call Hannah.
She says, go for him.
Hey, Horn and Claw here. How's it going?
Hey, bitch. Oh, hey. Not bad.
Is she a hey bitch? I don't think she's a hey bitch.
Yeah. She says,
her vibe is not hey bitch.
She says, it's been a while since we heard from you. How's everything been?
Yeah. Hasn't it been just like 3 or 4 days? Or I guess it's been a week. Since Master Eric's went to hang with them.
I think it's been longer. I did not write this on my little map of things here.
Map.
Give me just a second. Because it was while you guys were traveling, wasn't it?
Okay, maybe we just haven't talked to her.
Yeah.
So in that case, I'll say, yeah, it's been a while since we talked, but how did you like the really smart person we sent your way?
She says, Magpie?
No, Master Eric's.
Oh, Master Eric's. That's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, God, give me a second to catch up to the plot. I forgot about Master Eric's. You guys sent Master Eric's that way.
Well, he sent himself, to be honest.
She says, good. We're all back at the tower in Ajuba.
Ah, okay. Cool.
She says, he is a lot less of a character than the other Tabaxi friends of yours that I've met.
Hard to be as character as they are, right?
That's true.
We had some questions for the think tank. Is everybody around, or is this a bad time?
She says, no, this is a good time. We're taking a break.
Okay. So the first question was... I think we know the answer to this one. Can two planes be created with the power of Shatterrock Island?
She says, I'm going to hand you over to Magpie for this one. It's beyond my expertise.
Mm-hmm.
Go for Magpie.
Hey, Magpie.
What's that?
Can two planes be created with the power of Shatterrock Island?
She says, as far as we can tell, no.
I figured that would be the answer.
It looks like he has enough power to create one plane, and even then, that will be stretching it.
Okay. Do we have any other questions, or was it just the one?
We asked if we could create another thing. What about getting Shatterrock Island into a different plane, or like protecting it so that it gets exploded but doesn't affect our world?
Oh, like kind of what happens to Zia?
Yeah.
Good question, Una.
Nice.
She says, maybe you could do it with a wish spell.
What level is that?
That's a ninth level, and it's a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, the bigger the wish, the larger the chance for ramification.
Is there...
You hear Professor McWee say, and also the Order of Reality might come and mess it up.
Yeah, she was the one about the Order of Reality.
Mm-hmm. McWee's like, I think that's just an urban legend. Professor McWee says, no, I'm pretty sure they're real.
I think that's a conspiracy. I'm on Magpie's side here. I
completely out of character. I literally am a little bit like, can we do this just because I want to fuck around with the Order? This sounds so interesting. I want to know about this potential plot here.
Yeah. We got a long time before we got the
I was like,
spell,
I want
though.
This to happen just to know.
Another question is, do we know enough to know if the plan could be adjusted so it's not a home plane for the devils, but just a different plane, or like a neutral plane or something?
Neutral, yeah.
You hear an older voice. Well, that's an easy question. Master Eric's kind of giving his voice. Well, that's an easy question. The plane could be anything. That's the whole point of it. Could be a plane infused with positive energy or negative energy, or it could be not infused with any energy at all. It could be a place of eternal darkness or lightness, or a place where, you know, it's full of mountains and mists and dew. Or
do we know like who is setting that and like how that is set?
Well, presumably, typically a plane is created by a god, and it'd be based off of their, you know, their own
domain.
There are sort of beliefs and domains and what they would like a world to look like.
Yeah, but that's not what's going to happen here.
So presumably that whoever is doing this would have some control over what it looks like.
So we don't know. We need to learn more before we could figure that out.
I mean, if humans were to create this, would that, like, force it to be neutral? Because humanity doesn't have a single alignment?
Well, I think whoever's doing the making could fashion it however they'd like.
So it would the tenor of the plane would funnel itself through one person?
There would have to be, presumably there'd have to be somebody's will that is being used to create the plane.
But a single person's will.
Presumably, yes.
That sucks.
Yeah,
I think that makes it even less likely that one of the fiends or the Celestials could make it neutral.
I think we need to learn what because we don't know actually.
Maybe I'm explaining a little bit. Like a fiend could create a positively aligned plane if that's what they wanted to do.
We would just have to convince them that that's what they want to do.
Yeah. They
can make whatever will they want.
Yeah. Why would they ever want to do that though? Right.
Well, I mean, can people go to the plane of existence that they would want to be creating, like, with negative energy, or would it kill us?
I don't understand.
So, like, the Celestials can't exist in the demon plane, and the demons can't exist in the Celestial plane. Can humans exist in either of those?
I mean,
it would presumably, you know, a plane of negative energy would be, it would be kind of like being in a plane where you're constantly having the cause wound spell cast on you, inflict wounds.
So, I guess my thing is, can we convince them that it is beneficial to make a plane where we can exist in theory, and also that the Celestials could exist.
Why would we want to go there, though?
We don't. But we want to make it sound like we do, because we can't be like, we want to make it safe for the Celestials to be here, too.
I'm just going to say, convincing them that, because the thing is, if it's a negative energy plane, that would heal them constantly.
Yeah, it heals them.
It make them stronger.
Yeah.
So, I would say, like, is it possible to convince them? Sure, anything's possible to get a reroll dice. But yeah, you're looking at like a DC 30 persuasion check.
Yeah.
So, but the I guess we don't know enough about exactly what's
going to
happen.
Goes to look at her persuasion immediately.
I mean, for her, if anybody's going to be rolling that persuasion check.
Yeah.
I got a plus 7. It's not bad.
That's not bad at all. But like, we don't know exactly what's going to happen, right? Like, from this information, we can assume someone's going to push the button or say, this is what it needs to look like and have an idea in mind, but we don't actually know, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Convincing them is an option. Being the people who push the button is an option.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I think we need to learn more to know what a viable option is to... I don't think giving up on a neutral plane is necessary. Not that anyone said that, but you know what I mean? Like, I think there's still ways that we might be able to do it, even if...
Yeah, I think the only possibility of a neutral plane is someone human, someone mortal doing it.
Yeah.
Because I think that they're intrinsically incapable of doing anything but making...
So there's going to be some sort of deceit or fight, I'm imagining.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're not going to let anyone else.
Or, I mean, that his eminence or whatever made that really easy deal with me. It could be that they know they're in such a precarious position that they might be like, rather than have this blow up in our faces, maybe we just say yes. I mean, it probably won't be that easy, but it might be easier to make them come to an agreement with us than maybe we're worried about, because they want a plane.
Mm. Yeah.
Presumably, they don't want to actually kill themselves. And how easy is travel? I don't know whether I'm asking you this or the think tank. How easy is travel for fiends between the mortal plane and the astral sea?
Hannah says, they hand back to Hannah, and she says, well, it would depend on the fiend. Some of them can naturally travel between planes.
Oh.
Others, such as, you know, imps or other smaller things, would have to be taken by a larger one.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Should I, in our heads, I say, should I go ahead and fill them in on Bass?
Sure.
So, just so you guys know, we were approached by an archangel of Solari.
Yeah, this is Bassandriel?
Yeah. You know her from way back?
You just hear her say, holy shit.
Yeah, she was really hot.
Hannah, do you have a boner over the sending stone?
No. And I was like, but I do. Say more.
I'll very respectfully but accurately describe her.
Yes, respectfully describe them titties. Hannah says, I've heard tale of Miss Andriel. She's one of the last surviving archangels from since the calamity. Being created by Solari, if I recall correctly.
Uh-huh.
A creature endemic of the old order of things.
Yeah. Would you guys benefit from their input? Or is that a complication that you guys don't need?
She says, I think it's best they don't know what we're doing.
Good to know. Glad we asked.
She says, just because we're close to cracking this thing of getting, you know, into that area without it being dangerous.
Ooh, that's good to hear. Tell us more.
Everybody's like, well, we've got some promising results. We're not there yet, but we are working on some way of getting you all there.
Yes.
I told Hannah that we weren't going to say much until we were closer, but...
Sharing is caring.
And I was like, look, I'm not worried that Bassandriel is going to, like, come here and attack us or anything like that. She is a much in the way that devils are, you know, bound by their agreements. She is bound by her word and by honor and by law.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely got that vibe.
I will say, though, that she doesn't speak for all Celestials.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
She is a distinct part of them, but, you know, I think that some of the Celestials that, you know, were created by, say, Sylvian or Virtues may not necessarily agree with her in her course of action.
Mm. Caitlin has an instinctive hate in her heart for Virtues.
Yes.
Interesting. Well, she definitely used we and us pretty thoroughly, didn't she? When she was talking to us? We want to know what they're doing, or I want to know what they're doing.
I think she said I.
Oh, okay.
I have to go back and listen to the tape, but if she was saying me, it could just mean the lawful good, you know.
Yeah, her side of it.
Yeah.
Wasn't Virtues lawful good, too?
Virtues was neutral good.
That's why I hated him so much. Okay. Well, that's good to know. Because definitely we were thinking about mentioning what you guys are doing to her, but we definitely won't do that now.
Like I said, I don't think it would be bad. I just... You know, if they have a way of getting there unscathed, they might just go there to attempt to slaughter them.
Well, they're on a ceasefire.
A what now?
Yeah. So we tell her about that. Like, the fiends and the Celestials have a written ceasefire agreement that they won't attack each other for 5 years.
She says, I suppose that explains why the Astral Sea's been quiet lately.
Yeah.
But,
we also confirmed with her that there are no acceptable mortal casualties in their war, according to the Celestials.
She says that tracks with what I know about them. They tend to see things in black and white.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of ick. Okay. Anything else we can think of?
Not for them, no.
Mm-hmm.
You hear Magpie pop on. Hey, yeah, Tony, I heard you guys were getting gifts from the Queen. What'd you get?
Oh, have you not told Magpie?
Oh, I got these really cool carpets of flying that attach to my shoes. And so I can just kind of, like, fly around, but my feet can move around. So I used them for dancing yesterday. It was fun.
That's sick.
Thank you. I'll let you take them for a spin next time we're in the same place.
Look forward to it, brother.
You just have to go, Cabo San Lucas!
Ah, the perfect command word.
It's hilarious.
It's so good.
Okay. Anything you guys need to let us know?
No, we're just working on getting you there safely.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, take care of yourselves.
Don't have too much fun without us.
She says, no promises. Ain't no party like a magpie party.
Oh, I know. We've learned.
I believe that.
Yeah, right.
Oh, we were thinking about having a rager. Sometime and inviting some of our friends from Rakad. So
yeah.
Oh, you know I'm always down.
Get your party hat ready.
She says my party hat is always nearby.
Perfect.
I can summon that with a word.
Cabo San Lucas.
Well, no, that's a word you use for flying carpets.
Ah, yes.
Uh-huh.
Duh.
Uh-huh. Of course.
Everyone knows that.
Yeah.
Alright, Magpie out.
Bye.
Alright, I'm gonna pause it for just a second. I gotta get more water. I'll stand up for a sec. So, you've just gotten off the phone with the phone. Sending stuff. with the think tank. Master Eric's included. Yes, he's been there the whole time. You all are in your ask me named Heidi Hole.
Chaos Camp.
Yep.
We named
Camp
it.
Chaos.
Camp Chaos, my bad. We changed it.
Alright, you all are in Camp Chaos.
Is that okay with everyone?
I like it.
Yeah.
You got some like string lights hung up and comfortable throw pillows and.
Oh yeah. And my duvet, and I've got like a respectable amount of pillows.
And your
and my mobile hanging overhead with, oh my god, could I have it hanging with like little bits, like penises and vulvas and just kind of like and butts,
yeah,
and boobs, and I just like.
And you want to claw at those?
No, yeah. I just laugh at them.
How relaxing.
It's oddly soothing to Inari as well.
It's oddly soothing to Colleen as well. I'm just like thinking about it going.
Next craft project.
You know, right?
Alright, is there anything else that you all want to do, or are you just going to take a nice long rest?
Long rest.
Slam those long rest buttons.
Yeah.
Alright. So you spend your first inaugural night in Camp Chaos.
Nice.
Awaken the next morning. As you sleep, you notice some magical touches. Like, as whenever the first person lays in bed, you notice that the atmosphere around it just starts to dim slightly. Mm. And by the time you all are in bed, it's just dark outside. Mm. And then in the morning, as you guys are getting ready to wake up, you notice it's starting to light outside. Mm.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. And when you open the cabinets, there's like more breakfasty stuff available.
Wow.
Nice. This is fancy.
Yeah, it is. I mean, this is like state-sanctioned magical craft is what this is.
We made it, guys.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we fucking did.
Suki, from like her little silk bed that she had Shims make her, just is like, that's right, we did.
Yeah. Only the finest for my most beloved pet. I don't know, what would you call Tsuki to me?
Familiar, right?
You're familiar?
Familiar?
You're homunculus?
Homunculus is such an ugly-ass word to me. I hate that one.
Your BFF? Your gossipy snake?
Yeah, my bestie.
Your bestie.
Gossipy.
Only the
bitch.
Best for my bestie.
Okay, so you'll wake up in Camp Chaos. Grab yourself some breakfast from the cabinets, and what would you like to do? It's the 23rd of Lean, Queen's Day.
What time were we going to meet Bass?
Noon.
Okay, so we got some time to fill. I don't know that I have anything else to do here. You know?
Yeah.
I just had a relaxing morning, just lounging around.
Yeah, ma'am.
Hanging out in the back porch, got a little fire going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's cold here. It's technically winter here, so.
The temperature in the hole, by the way, is just pleasant.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, we've been outside in chilly weather for more than a week now, so.
Mm-hmm.
And we're used to it being summer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine because it's been so hot here, but it is actually.
What is being cold? I don't know.
Right? Well, it's like I was driving up here, I was like, wow, it's really cool. And then I looked at the temperature, I'm like, wow, it's 77. Any other time of the year, I'd say that's too hot, but whew, breath of fresh air.
Yeah. Do you guys think I should go see Hitoshi one more time before I leave?
No.
Absolutely. Torture his ass.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, is absolutely.
I guess if you want to torment him, but what a loser.
Yeah. Well, he deserves to be tormented.
What about that giant you were with the other night? He seemed a lot more chill and
we
a lot less begging at your feet.
Yeah, he didn't give a shit. We can go visit him in, don't tell me, I have it written down. Canton? Canton?
The canton of...
Oh, Kuramori.
Yeah.
Kuramori?
Yeah.
Nice. So, it's a few days travel from here by land.
Mm. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, just chill morning.
Okay. All right, so come shortly before noon. You all find yourself in front of the Sapphire Spear in the Kyushigai district. They're the center of town. You all go in?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. So you walk in, you see at the same table she was sitting at yesterday, Miss Andreal, sitting there. Disconcertingly, like, looks like she's sipping, like, a coffee or something.
Why is that disconcerting?
Because they don't eat.
Well, just because it's just this being of, like, immense power. She's just sitting there, just sipping away at her.
She's chilling.
Yeah.
I'm her oat milk latte. Yeah.
Can I ask, like, oh, how do you take your coffee?
Yeah, I'm really curious what she's drinking.
The blood of the innocent.
Yeah, right.
you walk over to her, and she looks up, and she says, ah, a little early. Well, are you ready?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what are you drinking?
She says, it is a coffee with a creamer made of oat.
Does she say coffee like she doesn't understand what the word means?
She says it like it's a little unfamiliar on the tongue. Yeah.
What did you think?
Oh, she says it's an indulgence anytime I'm on the mortal plane.
Oh, so you enjoy it?
Yes, yes.
Nice.
What else do you enjoy?
Yes.
No.
Yeah, is now an appropriate time to point out that the second we met this character, I was like, you know, if Inari hooks up with them.
No, that would that's that would not probably ruin you for all other mortals, don't you think?
I don't think that's even an option, so.
In our heads, I dare you to shoot your shot. I dare you.
No.
She points to her Barbie doll crotch and says, good luck.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so she leads you into the same room that you guys were in yesterday. There was once again another magnificent spread on the table for you.
Lovely. Who wants to start?
I was saying, maybe that's why I was disconcerted. The last time I think she said she doesn't need to eat or drink, and so that's why she left all the food for it.
Ah.
But she can, so.
She doesn't need to. Depends. Vampires.
She sparkles.
It's funny you say that when there's actual vampires.
I know. No, I said it because there are actual vampires. That was both Taika a little bit and mostly Caitlin. Nithis in particular.
Yeah.
So, what are the odds that you guys... random. that you guys could extend the ceasefire indefinitely?
She says, I do not know that
write it down.
Either side would be amenable to that.
Yeah.
She says, she thinks about it for a second longer and says, we are, she says, something I've realized since making the ceasefire deal a year and a half ago is that without having us around gives the fiends carte blanche to try their schemes on those weaker than them.
Mm. But they could do that anyway.
But they could do something about it.
She says yes, and we try to stop them when we find out about it.
Hmm.
That's so bigger ramifications to the ceasefire than what you initially thought of, is that?
She says yes, at the time they were not mucking about in the mortal plane. She says it was an oversight on our part, so desperate were we for the bloodshed to end.
Why were you so desperate for the bloodshed to end?
Because it was impacting not just fiends and celestials in the astral sea, but the other denizens that lived there.
Mm. Ding, ding, ding. So it's not just that in the absence of gods you have no other goals or purpose?
She says, are you asking me if my only goal is to destroy all fiends?
Uh-huh.
She says, no, I have many other goals than that.
Hmm. Okay.
Like what?
She says...
Yeah, what are you doing on your Sunday nights?
she says, to help people, to make the world a better place.
Oh, that's nice.
She says, to ease suffering, to prevent injustices when we can. But, she says, we have to take a careful hand with it. She says, we are beings of divine power. We do not wish to impose our will upon the mortal realm. Hmm. She says that is a lesson we learned from our creators before they left.
But isn't part of being mortal suffering?
We can't, it is, and we can't ease all suffering, but needless suffering. Suffering, especially suffering imposed on them by people more powerful than they are.
Cool.
Did you have a question?
I am trying to remember it.
No, no!
What about Shims? Suki just whispers in your ear, she's like, do you think she'll let us touch the sword?
That's right.
Because she has that artifact level sword on her.
Oof.
Didn't I ask yesterday, and then she was like, no?
I don't think you asked.
No, you thought about it.
No, I think I was just staring at it.
Do you speak for all Celestials?
Mm-hmm. I do not.
Right, so...
She says, I speak for myself, and I advise those that are sympathetic to my aims.
Right, so are there other Celestials that are less concerned about protecting humanity?
Mm-hmm. She says, there are those Celestials that would argue that the benefits outweigh the costs in certain situations. She says, I won't deny that. But even they would want to make to minimize mortal suffering.
Minimize? Sounds like a particular type of talking.
Mm-hmm. What's that?
Sounds like a particular type of talking.
Well, it's hard for me to Chris to be like, well, there are those that are chaotic good, and chaotic good people, a lot more of the ends justify the means, sort of.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what I mean. Like, yeah. It sounds very like, we don't want to hurt anyone, but we will to get it if we have to, like, mm-hmm.
Whereas the you know, lawful good, which is what,
yeah.
Which is what Miss Andrea Ellis here is like, no, we wouldn't do anything if it hurt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you share all of your information with all of the different Celestials, or?
Those that seek my counsel, yes.
Right.
How many of the domains seek your counsel?
She says, I'm in touch with the leaders of all the various Celestial factions, she says, but she says, are you concerned that the information you have that I'll spread to them and they'll do something inadvisable?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can also assure, I can also make a guarantee to you that I will not share information.
All right, that's good to know. I remembered my question, which is similar veined. Do you or any other Celestials have any sort of loopholes or ways around the ceasefire right now that you're using or thinking of using?
She says, none that I have found, and I am particularly attuned to, she says, the structures of legal contracts.
Lawyer. Okay, cool.
Interesting. So, just to clarify, above the board, above the table, we did not tell her that they were creating their own plane.
Mm-hmm. We haven't told her.
But we decided that we would go ahead.
You have told her that you are worried that she would sabotage whatever it is they were doing.
Yeah.
And so she says, well, what are they building? So she asked you what they were building. It could be sabotage, and you did not answer that. So.
Yeah.
I think.
But we decided to go ahead and tell her, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think like, now's the time if we're going to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, the fiends have, they think, and we obviously can't be sure because we aren't involved in their decision making or their planning, but they think they found a way to create a plane for themselves.
She takes it in for a moment. Thanks about it. She says that is quite interesting news. She says presumably they would flee the astral sea to take over this plane.
Does that strike you as very, very bad, or very, very good, or what? How does that strike you?
She says, I'll need time to think about it. I see upside to the plan. Removing the fiends from...
Hold on a second.
Removing the fiends from the astral sea would end a lot of strife between our peoples.
I mean, that's a much better response than I expected.
She says, however, if they created their own plane, presumably it'd be one that was infused with negative energy, would strengthen them, weaken anyone that attempted to go that wasn't a fiend. She says, it would make them more powerful. She says, from there they could marshal their strength. She says, and who knows what they would do.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. She says, I will have to contemplate that.
Above the table again, Caitlin just had a horrifying vision of the end goal of the fiends being... like world domination, and they're just using this as a way to build their
power
strength
up.
And then they can come and take over the mortal world.
Exactly.
That's what I was thinking.
I just had a hard 180 on helping them. Just in this moment, hard 180.
Well, I could see it being almost like an amusement park coming back to the mortal realm.
Yeah.
Like that they were like,
fun.
Come on, kids, let's go to the mortal realm and fuck some shit up. Mm. And like...
Yeah.
They, like, make a day of it, and then they rest back in their, like, safe space.
Yeah. Oh, fuck yeah, I just... Oof.
She says...
Just a tingle of fear just went down my spine.
She says, I'll let you in on a little bit of information that few know that are not celestial or fiend. We have been much diminished in our time in the astral sea. Cut off from the source of our creations.
But that's both you guys and the fiends, right?
Correct. She says, what you see sitting in front of you is just an echo or a reflection of what my true power once was.
In our heads I saw, y'all! What? I laugh a little dementedly.
I have another thing to say in our heads. I know I didn't think about this earlier when we were talking to the think tank, but since the plane that is being created is whatever the creator wants it to be, could it shift back and forth between negative and positive? And that way, both of them can utilize it at different times, but not always.
Well, I think that's the thing, though, is that when you create it is what the decision is.
I mean, you could create a plane that went through cycles.
That's what I was thinking.
Or a half and half plane, or a neutral plane, or something.
Yeah, but I mean, then, like, they can restore themselves every, you know, whatever is a reasonable amount of time, and then it shifts to the other one, and then the other group. And they have to get the heck out of there, because it'll hurt them.
But then where do they go, and what did they do? What did
sounds
the
like just perpetuating, the violence. Like, maybe even making it worse, because now they've got a resource that they're constantly fighting over.
Yeah, like, what would stop the fiends from powering up and then for the sixth or half the time just making a muck of the mortal plane?
Yeah. I mean, just a thought.
No. Well, that's maybe a half and half?
Yeah, I mean, if we can have them exist at the same time in, like... Same plane. Yeah.
No, I think trying to figure out different ideas is
like
good.
Dodgeball?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have just, like, a just line a big
net
the
between the two halves.
Yeah. And they can keep their fights there and away from us.
Oh my god, and then, like, young demons would, like, go up to the line, like, you go across. No, you go across.
Chaotic celestials constantly just, like, right in the middle! I'm on the good side!
Should we tell her that we're thinking of ways to, like, we're working on, like, some sort of mitigation or, like, altering it from just being a devil thing, but that's just something we're working toward? Or
do we want to... I don't think we gave her a chance to finish.
Oh, okay.
What else was she going to say?
She was
talking about how they're much diminished.
Oh, yeah. So she just lets you know that they're much diminished, and so, you know, this is, you know, she's a reflection of her own power, and so she says, I worry that if they were back on a negative aligned plane, she says that they might wipe us out.
But if you were on a positive aligned plane, you would do the same without hesitation, right?
She says, I won't lie to you.
Mm-hmm. Technically you can't, right?
She says, that is true, I cannot. And yes, we would do the same if the positions were reversed. Mm-hmm. And the world would be better for it.
So this is what we're asking you not to tell some people about. Because we're trying to figure something out as a third party with absolutely no say in the matter whatsoever. Or no personal say, even though
no skin in the game.
Yeah.
Although technically I think we have the most skin in the game. What the fuck did you just roll?
Don't worry about it.
Bitch!
I just needed to put my die down.
Insight.
Insight into you, the person, Chris fucking Fairfield. Yeah.
I'm mad about it.
I will!
But we need to be careful about this because there's potentially all of humanity at risk. So,
she says, if there's a risk that humanity could be hurt or destroyed by the creation of this plane, then we would not create the plane.
You say that, but you have compatriots who would consider mortals an acceptable loss.
She says there are celestials that might, yes.
Yeah, so that's why we're asking you to keep it zipped.
She says, I give you my word, I will not tell any other celestial about their plan.
Will you not tell anyone else, not just celestials?
Yeah. I will not tell anyone outside of this room.
All right.
Okay.
And I believe her.
Bazinga!
I was going to say, it's such a weird room that we don't know.
Look around, you don't see anybody else in the room.
Okay.
So, in our heads, I think more than ever, it's considering this information, it's maybe in our best interest to just rout the demons out if we can and create the plane as neutral by ourselves. Like, as humanity, create a plane that is neutral, that exists, and then the power to do so is gone, you know?
Yeah.
And so this threat won't exist anymore. Because I think that's, like, if we stop them, they're going to live eons longer than humans are, you know? So if the power to do so on our plane is still there, eventually somebody's going to come back up against this problem again.
Yeah, I think a plane needs to be created. Yeah. Because they're not going to stop.
We have the nuclear button, just get rid of it.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing, too, is, like, it'd be a plane that they could both go to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the problem with the Astral Sea is that the Astral Sea is almost entirely empty. And so there's just very little space for...
There's no land for them. That's part of it, right? There's, like, no land for them to be on.
Right. Just very small bits of it. And then parts that are big enough for, like, fortresses and stuff are very rare, and so that's very...
And they're already occupied by what would be mortals.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Things like Githzerai and Githyanki.
Mm-hmm. I really think that that's a plan. That we should take it over.
We just need to figure out how to do so. Like, do we do it forcefully? Do we do it stealthily? Blah, blah, blah.
Do we ask her for help to do it?
Maybe.
I think I'm going to go ahead and come clean with it. If that's okay with you guys.
I'm fine. Happy with it. Let's choose a path and go for it.
Yeah. Choose your own adventure.
I will. So, I think, we all think, that the best option here is that a plane is created without the involvement of fiends or celestials. So you guys get a place to build your fortresses, do whatever you want that's not on the astral sea, but doesn't empower either side.
She says if you're going to create this plane, she says, why not make it a plane for celestials?
Why make it a plane for celestials?
Because when we can root out this evil and destroy it.
There's a lot of people who thought I was evil from the very moment I was born because I have horns. So your self-righteous bullshit right now is really pushing some goddamn buttons, and I'll stand in your way if I have to. Sorry. What?
Celestial.
She says,
ruin cities.
She says,
diminished.
She says the prejudice of mortals are not shared by those of celestials. You were not created by an evil god for malicious purpose.
Many people would disagree with you.
She says, but I'm not people.
Yeah. But I would say that the wholesale extinction of beings is also not great. Wouldn't you?
She says,
maybe you're incapable of saying that, but all of humanity is capable of saying that. You see what I'm saying?
She's saying, she thinks for a second, and she says, I can recognize that I will not get through to you on this, so I will spare you the vivid descriptions of the vivisections and flayings that they've done to people while they're alive. She says, for their own sport and entertainment. She says, I've given you my bond that I will not tell anybody about this. And she says, and given that I do not know where this is going to occur, I do not see how I can interfere. She says, your solution, she says, if you're convinced to do that, is not a bad one, she says. If you create a new plane and it's accessible, then I imagine celestials will migrate there and fiends will follow and our battles will move from the astral sea where there aren't bystanders to a place without bystanders, and that to me is a positive. She says, I may disagree with not making a plane for celestials, but I'm not proud enough or foolish enough to say that your compromise solution isn't better than the alternative, which is a place for fiends.
In our heads, I'm like, my real life experience, she's right. My real life experience with people has nothing to do with what actual fiends do to people in their power.
Yeah. So, I mean, the flip side is, we might be able to get, we might be able to convince the fiends to create a neutral space. Or trick
you
them.
You think so?
Trick?
Yeah, trickle. Yeah, I don't know. I don't
trick
think we'll be able
to convince. But I don't think we'll be able to trick them into creating a celestial plane.
No way. Yeah.
Without them noticing. But I think we're the likelihood that we can get something neutral is higher. But if the opportunity arises, then let's go celestial. But like,
I also think that planning on tricking fiends is maybe extremely foolish.
Tricking tricksters?
Yeah,
I was under the impression that the plan was going to be to take over the whole operation.
Mm-hmm. I think we should take over. I think...
Yeah, but it's how do we do that? Do we do it sneakily or...
Yeah, I think involving them or trying to trick them or trying to convince them, I think that's a dead loss.
I think part of it is maybe it not tricking them, but convincing them that it is best to let us handle this to make sure that it's successful because we don't want to lose this plane.
But I mean, and so, they're already in it. They don't need us.
Yeah, but their success is not as guaranteed as it will be with us and our resources.
I think that they are not going to believe that at all.
It's true.
No.
I think so. We've got more expertise with our group.
No, I mean, we're worried about it not working, but I don't think they care at all. You're giving them, like, a basis of doubt that I don't think they have.
Well, they're going to want to... They care whether it gets created or not. They don't care if it's going to destroy our plane, but they do care if it doesn't get created.
I think they'll welcome our help if we give it to them, but I think they won't allow us anything more than that. I think basing our plan on tricking or convincing them... Like, maybe we could put, like, some effort into it, but if we put eggs in that basket, I think we're going to be fucked. I genuinely do. And this is also Caitlin talking from a game mechanic standpoint. Like, tricking devils and demons, it just ends poorly, because they find loopholes and they find ways around it and all that.
I wonder if there is a continuum, though, that we can think of. Like, worst case scenario would be we help them create a plane for fiends and they're out of our hair, but it's successful and that's an okay option that we might run into.
I think that's a bad option now. I've changed my tune. I think that's a bad option now. Sorry I've gone back on this, but I have... Like, he's like, I will spare you the description of vivisections. I'm like, you're right. Like, that's legitimately what these beings are.
Yeah.
So I think their reality has kind of been escaping me because I feel for that plight.
Yeah.
But they are not...
So that's no longer an option.
I don't think it really should be. Okay. I think that given the opportunity, they would lay waste and use us as playthings.
Well, I mean, they kind of already do.
Worse than they do now.
Yeah.
Well, and that is my concern. Almighty DM was saying they hadn't for a while, and them playing with us was more recent, right? Is that right?
What's that?
The fiends' involvement in human stuff is more recent?
Yeah.
Yeah, like they've been absent for hundreds of years because they've been fighting the Celestials, right?
More or less, yeah.
So,
could we create a bigger conflict between the Celestials and...
That's horrible.
Oh my god.
So that they both just, like, leave this plane and go back to,
Well, I think they can't break the ceasefire, right?
Yeah, right now they're in the ceasefire, so it would have to wait at least another 5 years.
Can we look at the ceasefire to see if there's a loophole?
Lawyer lady said no.
Yeah, lawyer lady's way better at shit than we would be.
Maybe.
I know that I'm all over the place on this, but after
we're figuring it out. Yeah, we're talking it through.
Yeah, now after his description, I'm like, she's fucking right.
Yeah.
Like...
So we gotta get control of whatever they're doing on Shadow Rock Island and create a neutral space. That's the plan.
I think at worst a neutral space and...
At best a celestial space?
If it turns into a celestial space, I don't think that would be bad for us.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Or like a neutral space with a little island that's a halo for celestials. can power up or something. I don't know.
Ooh, that would be interesting.
Like, a place of love. A love island. Love island!
It's neutral, but there's, like, power-up spots
just
for both.
See if they find their...
Just himbo angels wearing, like, beach attire.
Just a couple of save points for each side where they power up and get health.
Charging stations?
Charging stations.
Gosh, it sounds like a video game.
Oh, he's going to get in your bag.
Oh, maybe don't put your... Sorry, that's where my mouth goes, buddy. I'm
no.
I'll wash that later. I'm sorry, I know. It's so nice.
He wanted in that bag.
You can come home with me. I don't think he'd like it, though.
Mm-mm. I doubt he likes dogs.
Torby's not home tonight. We can hang out.
Field trip!
Torby comes home and is like, what fucking cat was in my... Alright, so, is there anything else that you would like to discuss with Miss Andrea?
Did we tell her that we told her we're neutral, but did we tell her that we're still sort of figuring things out? And like,
yeah, I think you said that. Yeah, okay. That we were still figuring things out. So if we wanted to get your aid, how would we get a hold of you?
That is a great question.
Yes, it needs to.
She does not have a sibling.
I imagine not.
Can we be on first bitch basis?
Yeah.
Let me just check something real quick.
Does she have like a ritual we call? We pray.
Ooh. Ooh. You make me pray, I'm going to lose my mind. Her spirit field wouldn't do that to me. Of all people.
None of you are clerics.
No.
No, but I've been called holy.
He really wants in that bag.
She produces a scroll and hands it to Tony.
Thank you.
A scroll of contact other plane.
Ooh.
Nice.
It's a fifth level spell that lets you contact people from other planes.
What? Nice. Is that something that's in the...
Yeah.
Okay. But it's a scroll.
Yeah, but you can put it into your spell book.
Hi. Hi. Oh, my goodness.
Are you watching that, Leanne?
Surprise, surprise.
He was so quick to steal Chase, too. Like, he was not even out of frame before he jumped up there.
It's okay. I can stand for that.
Don't care.
I don't mind standing.
Rosfredo's just been a fuzzbud this entire night. Just...
Yeah.
Big fuzzbud.
He has not moved once. I just love how Sam has such a grouchy little face, but he's the neediest little boy.
He is.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness. I need to send you, oh my goodness, I'll put it in the chat. Hold on. Pause for cute fucking cats. Because Impa is the most adorable little shit ever on the planet. That's an actual video of him laying in a sunbeam, meowing at me. He's so cute! Isn't he adorable?
Aww, what a sweetie.
You are cute.
And he's unhappy crying at me because I'm not holding him. Ridiculous.
I'm saving this.
Yeah,
that
for sure.
So goddamn cute.
Isn't he adorable? It's crazy.
That is the cutest shit I ever done seen in my life.
All right,
I sent that to my mom. All
right, so Bessandriel hands you that scroll, Tony.
Thank you.
Nice.
She says, "Be cautious when you cast this. It can be straight. Like the price of contacting us from other planes can be strenuous to mortal minds."
Oh, what does that mean?
You have to roll an intelligence save when you cast it, and if you fail it, you go insane.
Ah!
What the fuck?
You've got a really
how
high intelligence
save,
though.
DC 15.
Yeah.
Alright.
DC 15.
We can load you up. Yeah.
Greater restoration can end it. It also ends when you finish a long rest. So.
Okay. Oh, okay. So it's not like a permanent insane.
Yeah.
Okay.
How funny would it be if he failed the save and he just acted completely like his usual
He's like, what? Was I supposed to go insane?
Let me the same.
Or would insane Tony just be like sane Tony?
Hello,
my name is...
He'd be
concerningly normal.
Puts on a tie.
Yeah. Like, my name is Tonathan.
Sounds about right.
Business cat. Alright. So, is there anything else that you'd like to say to Bassandra, or questions you'd like to ask her? She says, well, thank you for sharing with me. You have my word that I'll keep this to myself. And you know how to reach me, and I ask that you contemplate what I've told you and consider what I've had to say.
We will. Thank you.
And she says, until the next time. And then she gets up and disappears.
Wow. This is fun.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I'm kind of glad that she talked to us.
Mm-hmm.
It was nice to have a different perspective.
And I mean, we could have been, like, well on our way to making a huge mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Also worth considering that the DM gave us an out like that.
Mm-hmm. All right. But honestly, I think maybe... we forget about it for a couple hours and get back to it when we have... Because to learn more about what they're doing, we need the devils to feel like, not trust us, but like that we have enough artificers, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then the plan is to like go there and like talk through it and stuff. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't really do much else or plan much else until we do that, right?
I think I should increase my recruiting, though.
Yeah.
Because if the end goal is to stop them, it needs to be way more than a casual recruitment.
Yeah. It's like this thing.
Did we ever get to talk to those people that we fought in the tournament thingy? Because there were four higher level teams, like us, the Weary Wanderers, the Kestrels, and then there was one other that was a local group.
The Noble Wanderers. I've talked to him about it.
Do we ever...
Yeah.
Okay.
I have the sending stone of one of them to let them know when go time is, if they wanted to help save the world.
Sounds bullshit.
The Gemstone Sisters were also very powerful, right?
Yeah, them and the Bod Squad were both higher level.
I am not talking to the Bod Squad. Under any circumstances...
Just because they're called the Bod Squad?
Yeah. Well, also, their presentation.
Their allergicness to shirts?
Yeah, that.
I'll
exactly.
talk to them, you know. I'll take the hit.
Yeah. It's nice of you.
Can we take a break really quick and see if they're still in town?
Yeah. Who are you looking for?
Gemstone Sisters for me.
I'll do the Bod Squad. I'll take my shirt off.
Mm. I'm just going to Sending Stone Toshiro.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, are the Gemstone Sisters and the Bod Squad still in town?
Unfortunately, both of them have left town.
Damn.
They do.
What are their locations?
He says, I'm not sure. They teleported themselves.
Mm. Okay, damn. And we didn't get sending.
We're going to miss you.
I mean, does Toshiro know anyone in the area? Like, he seems like he knows literally everyone in town, so he probably knows some high-level adventurers who can...
Should we tell...
We can talk to.
Kamiko?
He says, would you like me to send a message to them?
Yeah. Wait, can you send messages?
You have the message spell.
Yeah.
Oh, sending?
Sending.
Oh, okay. No, I think we got it. Thank you.
Of course.
Do you want to send to them really quick? Is that worth it? Or you want to do that another day?
We could do that. I don't have it prepared, so I'd have to get it prepared. How long will that take?
Oh, you'll have to do it tomorrow.
Tomorrow, okay.
Just remember.
Yeah.
At least I don't think I have it as a scroll. Hold on.
Mm-hmm.
I doubt it, because I would have had it. Yeah. Let me see if I've got anything else.
You lush.
You smell so good.
You a shoe hoe.
I have a fetish.
Sorry.
You a shoe hoe.
He just looks over like,
yes.
He's like, no, I will not be leaving my shoes behind.
So now we're done. We're like done here, right? Like done in a sense. We still need to go to somewhere and then Bronzeport to get our money, right?
Yes.
That was Ajuba and Bronzeport, yeah. But Bronzeport, we were going to go there first so that we could set up Camp Chaos nearby Harita and then to Ajuba to meet up with the siblings, right?
But then we're going to stay in Bronzeport, right, for the heist?
Oh, because we have to plan the heist. Yeah. Heist next.
Yeah? Is that what's on our immediate?
Yeah.
I feel like I'm forgetting something.
So
still like a month, yeah, month and a week.
A month and a week.
Okay.
Okay.
So go set up our clubhouse in Bronzeport.
You guys want to leave now-ish?
Yeah.
Yeah,
let's head out. Stone Harita. Hey, bitch.
Hey, bitch. What's up?
Can we come over?
She says it's pretty early, but sure.
All right. Thank you.
Or wait.
Yeah, it's
late. Later.
Mid-afternoon for us.
Oh, if it would be the middle of the night.
No. It would be. I was like, wait, I gotta do math. Yeah. No, she's like, yeah, just finished up dinner.
Nice. We ready?
So Tony draws a little teleportation circle. And you all...
Shum.
Yeah, Hokkaido melts away and reforms itself as Harita's teleportation circle room. You see Mira standing there with a plate of drinks.
Oh, thanks, Mira.
And it says, hey, bitch.
Hey, bitch.
Ah, it's so warm.
First bitch basis with a mirror?
Love it.
That's pretty great.
And or Harita programmed Mira to say that. Mira's not...
No. Mira decided to say that themselves.
Yeah. Do you use a 7th level spell for your teleportation circle?
Yeah, all I could see was teleport. I don't think I had teleportation circles.
Oh, you didn't have it prepared?
Yeah, so we...
So we gotta sleep.
So you can just teleport, yeah.
Or we could just use teleport. Because we're going to go to sleep soon anyway, right? Yeah. Does that work?
Sure.
Okay. So, teleport.
So, yeah, you don't have to draw the circle. You just cast the spell and you poof. What's that look like when you cast teleport?
I think it'll be very similar to, like, Star Trek and the transporters.
Yeah.
Everyone just has to stand in a certain area, and then it's like, shoo, and we kind of, like, go out, and then on the other side we come back in.
So very similar to your vortex warp.
Yeah, but it doesn't go warp.
Warp. Fair enough.
All right, so you beam back to transport.
Yeah.
Beam me back. Tony?
All right, so you guys take your drinks from here and head downstairs. And Harita's sitting there. She's got, like, a pile of scrolls in front of her. Like, she's sitting, like, on the couch with, like, one of those little, like, lap tables. And she looks up and she says, hey! Long time no see, yo.
Looking at the celebrated heroes of Nishima!
So I've heard. She says, a rage is so legendary that even people from here went to it.
Yeah.
Tens of thousands of people. It's fucking wild.
Someone's life goal is fulfilled.
Yeah, I mean, a little bit. Although, to be fair, I didn't tell you guys that.
Very happy.
I've been pretty mum about the depth of that. It's a little fucking wild.
She says, so you guys have achieved worldwide fame. What's next for... The Horde and Claw.
Worldwide peace.
Saving the actual world. She knows about the demon problem, right?
Oh, yeah. You guys have told her all about it.
We had a development with the demon problem.
Boy, fucking howdy, did we.
She kind of sets the table of scrolls aside and says, what happened?
You know, you might say we were visited by an archangel.
Touched by an angel, that is not...
I did not like it.
She said, really? He says, well, it sounds like you've drawn some attention to yourself, but that's what you wanted, right?
Did not expect an archangel to, like, actually, like, hey, bitch us.
Yeah.
That part's weird.
She says, are you on a first-pitch basis with an archangel now?
I think we might be smited if we tried to say that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't want to risk it.
Yeah.
Didn't want to risk the smiting. But, yeah, maybe the plan now is to not help the fiends.
Mm.
Instead to probably take over. Which is risky.
Yeah, it's all risky.
Yeah.
What are you writing down?
Don't mind me.
What are you writing down?
Oh, no. Someone's watching us, aren't they?
God, you guys are so paranoid.
Yeah! What was that die you rolled earlier?
Nothing.
Fucking liar!
You lie!
No trust! No trust!
Can't the DM just toss his dice down?
No! Screens are up! Of course not! And we'll never know. We'll never know
until
for sure.
Until we go talk to the demons and they're like, we know you're not telling the truth.
Right.
She says, so have you guys had a... you guys have a dinner yet? Or?
Have we eaten? I don't think I ate any food while we were talking to the Celestial. Yeah. I could eat.
Yeah, I think we're probably pretty hungry.
Cool. She says, let's go out for a meal and some drinks.
Sounds good.
Let's do it.
All right, so she, she takes out, hops in the ornithopter, and takes you guys out for a nice meal and some schmancy drinks.
Schmancy!
And she has you fill her in on everything that happened in your time in Hokkaido and the times leading up to Hokkaido, because, I mean, you guys have been gone for a while. You did the whole Phoenix fight, you found, you know, went to Kefaleo.
Oh, shit. We haven't been back since then?
Yeah.
Yeah, the last time you were in Bronzeport was about a month and a half ago, almost 2 months ago.
Oh, shit.
Wow.
That's a long time.
That is a long time. Crazy.
Yeah, you all left for,
All
fled. You all fled because Shims was getting bounty hunted.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Spent so long.
You're
traveling.
You're a bounty hunter.
Yeah, and you haven't been back since.
Wow.
So much time went by, like, traveling.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah, a lot of that was travel, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's so funny to think about.
Mm-hmm.
She says, so where are you going to put your fancy door?
I don't know. Somewhere accessible, but not obvious?
Mm-hmm.
She says, if you want it to be somewhere where you're going to escape notice, she says, I suggest, like, somewhere maybe one of the winding alleyways of Old Town.
Mm-hmm.
She says, if you put it in the, fancier part of town, someone will notice the new door and come
trying to figure out.
Investigating, yeah.
Because
there's nothing wealthy people like more than to keep an eye on their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
People that could afford to lose it the most.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Just find a promising alleyway, I guess.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Mm-hmm. So, you all.
Will do.
Also, I'll say, too, like, as you guys get here, like, it's been a while since you've been to Bronzeport, and, like, there's just a little, like, buzz in the air that's always here from the Vim field that, like, you're just like, oh, yeah. Like, it's a little... Bronzeport's just a little bit tingly.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of rejuvenating and refreshing, too, so...
It's like a caffeine buzz?
Just a slight hint of it.
Nice.
All right, so... dinner with yeah, you might want to move that. Yeah, after you have dinner with Harita, you guys go off and put your hole somewhere.
Yeah, we'll put our hole all up in this city.
Camp chaos.
Alright, so what are you going to do?
Try to find an inconspicuous spot in a winding alley of Old Town.
Mm-hmm. That's a great idea.
Yeah, I came up with it all on my own.
No, you find a place. You find a place kind of near the old, kind of near where the old Wizard Tower was.
Oh, okay.
Kind of near the Drunken Archer and kind of the docks and stuff like that. Mm.
That's actually a really good place to have it, because then we can be seen entering town. Yeah. It doesn't really matter how we got there, but we're
but
in
by the docks isn't a bad idea, because that's how a lot of people come.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really good idea.
Normies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and there's Norma at the Drunken Archer, who it's we true. Can have some contact with. That'd be good.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't Plava's store is by the docks?
Yeah, not too far. Yeah,
true, so that's
and
nice.
Snert's Imports. Yeah.
That's perfect.
Oh, Snert. Yeah.
Cool. So you say the command word shims. Do you remember what it was?
I wrote it down. It was cause something with a C.
Yes.
Castellum.
Yeah, you say that, the door handle starts glowing, and you push it into a wall, and you see a door sprout out from the handle.
Nice.
And then you all place your hands in the handle, and it gets uncomfortably hot again before cooling off, and you're able to open it up right into the same place that you slept last night.
Nice.
You walk in, you see your nicely decorated place, you see the door to Hokkaido over there.
Oh, sick. Awesome.
And if other people touch the handle, it just seems locked?
Yeah, I can't open it.
Okay.
And they won't be able to open it with, arcane lock or anything like that.
Correct.
Nice.
Knock. What about dispel magic?
It's a good question. I would think that it's an instantaneous, so, how you can't dispel magic a skeleton.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. Oh, okay. And knock wouldn't open it.
That's a good question. Let me look at the word.
Or a magical key that works one out of every
one
there's,
out of
there
every.
Is no, there is no keyhole, so well, you're safe from the magic key that you have and have not yet figured out the lock for.
Knock though is supposed to open any door.
The only magical effect that knock suppresses is arcane lock, and this is different than that. So.
Okay. Cool.
Sweet.
Sweet.
We've tried to think as much as we can.
Yeah. I think we surrounded the problem pretty well there.
Yeah.
Now I, the DM, have to figure out how to get people in there.
So are we staying at Harita's tonight, or here?
I'd just assume stay in our hidey hole, but if you guys want to stay at Parita's,
I'm just asking.
Yeah,
or one of you wants to
stay in here, or go and hang with your girl.
We'll see.
All right. So, I guess Rita would be there when you guys do this.
Oh yeah.
So she's like, she doesn't obviously hold the handle when you get there, but she's like, wow, that's really cool.
Yeah. Can she see?
Yeah, can people go, can people go in, or, is it only we're allowed in, or only we can open
the door? Do you open the door and invite her inside?
Sure.
She walks through the door and is in your
nice.
Campaign. Yeah.
So we can invite people in. Cool.
That's cool. Nice.
She says, nice digs.
Yeah, welcome to our place.
Yeah, says, we have a place.
Welcome to Camp Chaos.
She looks at Tony and says, that's an appropriate
Can we
name.
Get a little, banner or something?
I don't know that I like that you just looked at Tony for that. I've been known to cause some chaos. Mine usually involves more violence, but...
You know, didn't mean to offend. You all are a chaotic bunch.
I'm not chaotic at all.
She snorts under her breath.
You should have seen the Day of Song. You want to talk about fucking chaos. Thousands of people.
Fucking chaos.
That's what they all wanted.
She says, who created this? I'd love to pick their brain on some of the artifice techniques on this.
Kimiko. Kimiko. She's basically the...
She says Kimiko made this? You guys got an artifact, a magical item from Kimiko?
She's almost on first pitch basis.
Yeah. We're hot shit in Nishima, yo.
She says, well, if you're in Hokkaido again, let me know. I would love to have an introduction to Kimiko. She is a legend.
Well, it's just through that door.
She says, yeah, but would I be able to get back in?
No. I mean, I have a date with an older gentleman named Tashiro, so he thinks he can kick my ass. I don't think it's possible. I won the first time.
I do laugh.
I laugh in character.
Well, she says, I've never heard that name. Kimiko, she says, is a legend among the artificing community.
So is Kimiko an artificer then? I thought she was a wizard.
Good question.
It seems like she's hit 20th level in like 3 different classes at least. Like, she is the coolest person we've ever met.
I would say she's not an artificer, but she does make magical items.
Yeah.
So she's a wizard, but he also crafts magic items. So she's using artificer less in the class sense.
This is
more,
a side hobby for her, and
more,
she's still a legend at it, you know?
More just professional sense, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, we'll let you know if we ever go back. I mean, we have a door there, so...
Yeah,
and
we'll be
there.
I could take an hour trip there.
Yeah. Their library is insane.
Could take a 10-minute trip there. Yeah.
I mean, if we ever have to do research in the future, why would we go anywhere else but there? It's crazy.
Which is, I've heard they've got the third largest one in the world.
It's buck wild. The stairs make themselves...
Oh, she says, I definitely will have to take a trip.
It's an innie tower.
That's a great description for
it. That hit. It's such a weird... You broke Leah. She's like,
No!
Just imagine being in someone's belly button.
Ew! No, now I'm grossed out. I don't like it.
Fun fact.
You did this to yourself.
The germ of the idea for that library, by the way, is the undergraduate library at the University of Illinois.
Ooh.
It's completely underground because they needed to do so because to prevent it from blocking the sun for the experimental corn plots that are next to it.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Yep.
And so they needed to make sure that it's the oldest experimental fields in the country. And so they needed to make sure that...
experimental corn.
Yeah, that's what we're known for in Illinois.
Yep.
Genetic modification at its finest.
Yeah. At its most basic. I don't know. There's probably actually genetics now, but originally, at its most basic, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the oldest experimental crop field in America and the second oldest in the world.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so.
What's the first oldest?
Well, this might be some white people nonsense,
too. It's some white people nonsense, because I could tell you about something down in Peru that is really fucking cool.
The Rothamsted Research Station in England established in 1843. So.
Yeah, there's got to be stuff in Asia.
Up in the mountains in, I don't know if it's actually Peru, but they have the ancient people dug down in pits, and they dug so deep that they had different climates based on the altitude of the layer that they were at. And there's something, a staggering number of different plants that were genetically modified, and it was basically their testing for their country for how plants would grow at certain
elevations. Why am I shaking? What is happening? Why am I shaking?
Oh, sorry, that was my foot.
Oh.
Oh my god.
We all do the Star Trek, like, sorry, I didn't mean to scare you.
Left! Right!
It would hurt, but it'll be scary.
My favorite thing is, somebody took the footage of that, and they were able to stabilize it. So, because you know they shake the camera, so they made it so the camera wasn't shaking.
Mm-hmm.
So you can just see the actors that are just like,
Well, it's like the recent, like I saw a TikTok of the recent, the one where Data's flying the ship into the Borg, and I'm like, this looks a lot more fake than the original footage did because they do this, and I'm like, that's clearly like the camera wasn't shaking near enough, like.
Mm-hmm.
The old school, somebody shaking the camera is better than whatever the fuck they did on that one. Anyway, sorry. No.
Alright, so. Alright, Rita's like, well, I'm going to head back to my place. She says, looking at her ornithopter, and then looks at you, Anara.
Alright, I'm going to head back to Rita's place.
Surprising no one. Thanks for not fucking in our sleeping hall.
Yes.
Bye.
That you know of.
God damn it. Now we know people can be invited in. I swear to God.
Just kidding. I wouldn't do that.
I swear to God, Inari.
Alright, so you all head back to your respective sleeping places. Have a pleasant evening, we'll say. And you all wake up.
Some more pleasant than others.
And you all wake up on the 24th of Queen's Day. Not Queen's Day, King's Day.
And I want to have my sending spell, right?
Do you need teleportation circle? Are we planning on leaving anywhere today or no?
I could get it done.
Yeah, probably good, because you were thinking about going to Juba to get your stuff, too.
Yeah, let's do this, that way and then teleportation, so I don't have to use a seventh-level spell.
Yeah. That's dangerous.
Yeah.
Giving up a seventh level. That's for emergencies only. I miss spells. And the worst part is, I miss upper-level spells, and you can't be a fighter and have upper-level spells. Like, you can't do both. But I love fighting so much.
I mean, maybe you'll really like cleric, because clerics can be a combination of both.
Yeah,
so.
I know.
Right, so you prepare your spells for the day.
It's been weighing on my mind. I've been thinking about
it. Well, you've still got plenty of time.
I know.
I'd say easily at least a year.
Yeah. And who knows what I'm going to think of between now and then.
Exactly. All right, so, Anara, you make your, Harita drops you off at the Wizard's Plaza in the morning, and she heads into work.
Give her a car kiss.
Yeah. And she leaves you with, like, a little tray with, like, four coffees in it for...
So nice.
So yeah, you make your way back into your private door. You see your companions there, just sort of waking up when you come in with coffee.
Got coffee.
Thank you.
Don't say what I do doesn't give you benefits.
I wasn't going to say anything about what you do.
You do realize we have money to just buy coffee, right?
All
right,
Tony.
I guess Tony's right. You don't have to sell your body for coffee.
That's what I'm doing. This was all for this moment.
For this moment of coffee.
I mean, what else would it be for?
When we were having lunch on Wednesday, she had to leave before we could pay. And I was like, it'd be hilarious if you just ghosted me after this. Like, our whole friendship was just
for this one
lunch.
And then she pointed out that I buy her dinner every week. Yeah. It's like, oh, yeah, I guess.
That's funny.
All right. So, yeah, you wake up, you have some coffee. It's a very warm day here in...
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I definitely go outside. It was very cold.
Take a private poo.
What?
Like, we have our own private bathroom. So yeah. I go and I take a private poo and it feels nice.
What?
Because her insides got all rearranged last night. She's gotta clean it out.
You shouldn't open
You don't
the
know
door.
What was in there.
Whatever it was, she's getting it out.
Did you, like, when you come home after you haven't been home and you take a poo in your own bathroom?
It's the best.
It feels good.
It's the best.
It's
yeah.
such a
no,
nice...
That's
when,
so
you,
real.
When you get home from, like,
that's
traveling,
so
it's like you're pooping your toilet, sleeping your bed, like, the best thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you say so?
After a week, like, I guess
you've
never
been, like, constipated while staying at a hotel.
I'm always constipated! There's literally no existence any longer for me without that. Always.
It's got some Friday energy today.
I wish it was Friday.
Move past the tired into the delirious.
Yeah. It is very hot in here.
I'd say it is just warm enough to be like, I'm
uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, all right. So you finished preparing your spells.
Yep.
You'll drink your coffees, use the restroom. Things we don't normally get into in D&D.
Let's RP this.
Yeah, right.
You look at the three shells and try to figure out how to use them.
Shells?
You go in the bathroom.
Oh, it's the old joke that
makes you take your pants down.
So there's this running joke in sci-fi films, right? Like, future bathrooms, and they're like, it doesn't have toilet paper, there's just like three shells in the bathroom.
Why? What? It's like seashells?
Yeah, just literally three seashells.
It's just a future joke.
It's just a future joke, yeah. Like, we've evolved past toilet paper, and so the person from the past goes in there and just looks at the three seashells, and it's just like,
what the fuck? Yeah, what is it? What's the joke?
That's the joke.
That's the joke.
Okay.
So,
weird.
Where do we have to go to get our money?
I would love to go talk to
we need
the
to
general,
do the sending
but,
spell.
Oh, yeah.
To
oh, yeah,
go
yeah, yeah.
Talk to the sisters and...
Mm-hmm. And we can do that here, right?
Yeah.
We decided, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So what I'm going to say, though, is you guys get ready... your sending spell is prepared to get ready to go get your money, and that's what we'll pick up next time.
Oh,
hey.
Right!
Money, 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 money!
So I'll can
set
just,
up.
Yeah,
I'll
fine.
Set up.
Look at that. I
I'll
perfectly ended on a fresh page.
That's awesome.
Yeah, right? I really I'll like set. This because it really I'll breaks up my
set
notes
up.
Very well.
Oh, yeah.
I'll set up. I'll set up.
I think
set
it's
up.
Great.
I'll set up.
I was in my own head, and then like, this is still happening. I don't know why.